Good morning, everyone, and welcome here in Jesus' name this morning. And I thought maybe before I started, I would tell you something I figured out a little bit more than what I figured out something I thought I knew a little bit about. But a few months ago, they had the workshops here for the CLE, or I think that's right. Anyway, and I came. And, of course, they did their talks up front, and then they had the different rooms that you would go in and learn how to be a better teacher. And I draw back from anything like that, but I made myself walk in one of these rooms, and I was hoping they didn't think I was a teacher, and I was hoping I wouldn't need to say anything. So I walk in, and I sit down, and up on the board, it said how to make students in class talk more. And then the last two words said, especially the introverts. And it really had my attention at that point. And so I sat there and listened. And we come back out and was listening to the talk up front. And I was sitting back there about where Mike is, and I got out my phone and I looked up what introvert meant, and I felt like I found myself. And so, you know, it's not easy for me to get up here, and I feel like I don't get y'all fed very good. And so, yeah, now you know what's wrong with me. I'm one of those weird introverts. It's not all positive either, if you know what it means. So I do appreciate your prayers, and the last couple of years, it's God has been faithful. It's not been that easy. People pray for me, they message me and say they're praying, and that means a lot. But eventually you run out of something, like, what am I going to preach about? Or that's the way it got for me. And You go around in this little circle. Well, this has been preached about, and what do you preach about? And that makes it hard. And I think the devil wants to. He likes that. But last night I was reading the Bible, working on what I was going to talk about, and I seen multiple things in what I was reading that I was like, well, I could preach about that, and I could preach about that, and I praise God for that. Last weekend, I had most of it studied, and then my wife got me out of preaching. She does pretty good at that. I asked her if I even needed to study this weekend, but no, I'd rather be. I don't want to be in the hospital with that going on. But I wondered, should I even preach about it, what I was studying? And anyway, so I added to it, and kind of from a different area. Hopefully it all makes sense. So what I want to talk about this morning, it's not something that's specifically written in the Bible. And that worries me, because what I say can come from what I think. And I ain't much on preaching personal opinions, and that's not my intention today at all. I don't intend to make anyone feel that they should do how I say or feel. That's not my point at all. That's not what the goal is. But I've been thinking about it quite a bit the last while, and that is the thing of gray areas in our lives. Or that was a thought. And so I got to looking at that and studying, and just for whatever it's worth, the color gray, we know what the color gray is. And how is the color gray made? You know, there's different colors you can mix to make a gray color. Natural gray is an equal part of white and black, and then you can fudge your black and white either way to get lighter or darker gray. An equal part of red and green makes a flat gray. Red, blue, and yellow make a primary gray, and I don't really know what primary gray means. And I would say most of us think that the color gray looks nice on a vehicle. a dress or a shirt. It's not a, it's a nice color. It can be attractive. Gray houses are nice. We have gray walls in our house, obviously. We like that. And the list could go on. Gray skin don't look all that good. But gray is a, it's a nice color. It's a nice color. And but what about a Christian? Should a Christian, or does a Christian, have gray areas in his life? It would be interesting to hear what y'all think. Should a Christian have gray areas? Gray gets to feeling pretty negative pretty quick when you apply it to a Christian. It tells us in Isaiah 1, verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So gray Christians don't sound good next to white as snow. There's a couple different ways to look at gray areas that we deal with. There's actually a lot of gray areas in life. And it could be deciding how much to help a friend, when to bend a rule slightly, when, whether to share a private piece of information, how much to spend on a gift, or determining what's too late in a given situation. What about eating or drinking junk food? We know it's not healthy. When is it too much? When is it gray? When does it become wrong or black? Gray areas, biblically speaking, is any matter that is not clearly commanded, prohibited, or permitted in Scripture. The problems we as humans face in these gray areas often end up being the things that Christians disagree about the most. Psalms 103:14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So God knows we're human, and he understands our weaknesses in these gray areas, in the decisions that the Bible don't speak directly to. Gray areas are hard to always know. When a church decides and agrees on an application to some of the gray in our life, it gives us an answer instead of a question. So them are grays that really wasn't what I was thinking about when I first thought about gray areas in our life. This last gray that I want to talk about is really what I had in mind when I started studying it, and that's gray spots or areas in a Christian. And I seen this in me, and that's why I thought about this to talk about it. Sometimes I say something or do something that just don't seem quite right, or it doesn't seem quite right, but we wonder, was it wrong? But it just didn't feel quite right. Should I make it right? There's just, in your mind can just go around and around. And a sensitive person is, yeah, it probably deals with it more. Yeah. And I'll give you an example. Some time ago, I had never watched, there's a film out in the IMAX things on the Titanic and how that all happened whenever it went down. I had never watched this, but I knew that it was out there somewhere. And so I went looking for it, and me and my wife watched this thing on this Titanic, and it ended up not even being the real Titanic. It was some secondhand version of it. But you know, it didn't feel quite right to me. And it felt a little gray, if you know what I mean. I wouldn't want to watch it again. I wouldn't feel comfortable if my family watched it. And so I feel like it was kind of a gray area. Was it straight up wrong? You know, it's hard to call these things sometimes, or it is for me. That's just one example. Remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, like it tells us in Exodus 20, verse 8, it's easy to get in the gray area pretty quick on the Sabbath. It seems like it to me. We flew to Montana, in 23, been over a year ago. And We was looking to go Monday, and it was like, well, why don't we just go Sunday? And I bought tickets, and we flew Sunday, and it just didn't feel quite right to me. It was something, I'm not saying it's wrong if you fly Sunday, and I'm not saying I'll never do it again in the right circumstance, but it was like, it felt like we was treating it like any other day, and it tells us to keep it holy. And so for me, I'm not saying for you, for me, it felt like a gray area and that I would like to avoid. Now, I'm not judging anybody if they, you know, we can't say that it's for sure wrong to fly somewhere on Sunday. It's just how it felt to me. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10, 25 to 31. Corinthians 10, 25, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And verse 28 there, it says to eat not for the sake of him that showed you or told you that this was to an idol. And you know, if we was in that circumstance, what would we say? It would be pretty easy to say, well, I don't believe in idols and sacrificing them and just eat the meat. Just tell him you don't believe in that stuff and you ain't worried about it. But for the other man's conscience, it tells us not to in that case. Verse 31 tells us that whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And I believe God's Spirit, through our conscience, will point out the gray in our lives. The Spirit of God changes us from having a conscience of convenience to a conscience of conviction. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So when we face these areas in life, these gray areas that we're not sure what to think, we should ask God's Spirit to guide and give us direction. Is what we're doing and saying glorifying God? If a Christian has a lot of consistent gray in his life, a lot of things he chooses to justify instead of condemn simply because he can't say for sure it's wrong. Even though it feels a little wrong. Will a Christian like that have a relationship with God that is drawing him closer to his Heavenly Father? Or will the consistent choosing to justify these things cause the gray to turn darker and possibly black eventually? Revelations 3, verse 15 and 16. I'll read that now. Revelations 3, 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, God wants real Christians. And in saying that, I see areas, I just told you about areas that I seen was gray. You know, we're going to have areas that we make a choice and later we're like, that really didn't feel quite right. I think that's normal. But God wants real Christians. And I've been reading in the Acts lately, and just started in the front of the book and read through it. And it's very interesting reading over that again. I hadn't done that in a long time, or I've studied through Acts. I took it in Bible school, but where Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days after he was crucified, he came back and was with his disciples 40 days and talking to them about the kingdom of God. And then he went up into the clouds and went back to heaven to be with God. After this, they established churches and they preached salvation. They was bold about that. They were persecuted and they were on fire for God. They didn't always get it right. One group was trying to tell, I think it was the Gentiles, it would have been the old leaders like the Pharisees and some of them. They was used to their laws that they was very strict about, and they was trying to tell the church that they had to all be circumcised and all this old stuff. And so they had to go say, no, that's not what it's about anymore. They had to undo some of that teaching. So they didn't always get it right, but they was on fire for God. They were real Christians. A man that was born in 1872, his name was Norman Selby. He became an American boxer, and he wasn't a very big guy. I think maybe 5'11", 180 pounds. He wasn't a real big boxer, but he could really box. And I'm not here promoting boxing. It's just to make a point this morning. And somewhere along the line, he got pretty famous, and he wasn't okay with his name being Norman Selby. That didn't sound big enough for him or tough enough for him. So he came up with he changed his name to Charles McCoy, and he was a little nickname was Kid McCoy was what they called him. So he became very famous. And others thought, well, he changed his name to that, and he's really doing things. So there was other people that started calling themselves Kid McCoy and trying to be famous like him. And he didn't care for that much because, you know, he was this McCoy. So he changed a little bit again, and this time he said he was the real McCoy. So that's one version of where that term comes from. There's different versions out there of where that term came from. There's several other ones. But he was the real deal. He wasn't somebody that just put the name on him. He wasn't a fake. He was the real McCoy. Are we as Christians the real McCoy? Are we real Christians? Or do we call ourselves Christian in hopes of gaining us something? Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. What I see in these verses is focused intention, doing whatever it takes, being genuine. If we're focused on God's kingdom like this, will we be trying to justify a lot of gray, a lot of areas that seem a little bit gray? Will we be deciding to not worry about it? Or will we listen to God's spirit and what God has for us in that? And I'm talking to myself in this. That is something that, you know, I have bought clothes and wore clothes that it was like, it didn't feel quite right. And I'm like, you know, we're not going to do this again. It's wore out. It's over. It's done. Or, you know, there's areas like that that we're going to, that I face. Maybe y'all don't face that, but I think we probably all do. And I think that's God's spirit talking to us. in areas that ain't specifically found in the Bible. So, yeah, God bless y'all as you deal with what might appear gray in your life on how to call it and what to do with that. That's all I have today, and y'all stand for prayer.